with him also. I never had the pleasure of meeting him like Daryl did, but I had the pleasure of knowing that he was one of the founders, original founders of the Congressional Black Caucus. And the Congressional Black Caucus every year puts out their own, State of the Union, their own, what they call, agenda for justice. And they always talk about fair housing. They always talk about affordable housing. They always talk about, making sure people have a fair working wage. They always talk about these progressive issues. And yesterday, Daryl, Perrin Mitchell's legacy came full steam ahead and was right there on the grounds of the U.S. Supreme Court as the case of City of Grand Pass, Oregon versus Johnson was heard. And this case, I'm going to, welcome our guests who are with us because we're going to go deep into this case, people, because you want to hear about it. It affects you. It affects your family. It affects all of your friends, all of your siblings, and and everybody you know, because this was an important case, and I don't want you not to know about it. It's a case you must know about because all of us got to be on the front lines of this fight for justice for the poor, to fight against poverty, to make sure that everybody in this country has an opportunity to strive. So with that said, why don't I introduce the first guest, and Daryl, you'll introduce the second guest, and I'll do the third. So let me start with Antonia Facinelli, who is the executive director of the National Homelessness Law Center. She is an incredible leader, made sure that this case was heard, that people didn't sweep it under the rug, the injustice is being done to those who are homeless in the country. Ms. Facinelli, welcome to Igniting Change. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And there she is. Welcome.
There you go.
Ms. Facinelli.
Yes, welcome. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
All right. And, and I'm going to have Daryl now introduce our next guest, and then we're going to introduce our third guest, and then we're going to come back with some questions for you, Ms. Facinelli.
Absolutely. And, Barbara, it's always exciting that when you're on the front lines fighting on voting rights, when you're on the front lines fighting for any cause in which you believe, that you're able to link arms and know that someone has your back and they will be with you all the way through a fight. Such a person exists in the executive director of the National Coalition for the Homeless. He's someone who's been on the front lines. He stays on the front lines. He's going to be there with you. He was at the Supreme Court. He was there petitioning the court, being certain that the rights of those that are unhoused and housing insecure are protected. He's none other than Donald Whitehead. Donald Whitehead, Donald, welcome. Welcome back to Igniting Change, Donald.
Well, thank you, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you, and certainly enjoy listening to you as well as engaging with you because you bring up such amazing issues that we have to address in our country. And just thank you for allowing me the space, and especially to join the space with my good friend Antonia. We look forward to having a great discussion. Antonia, I'm sorry, I did that again. Antonia knows that every once in a while I mispronounce her name, but we are colleagues and we are joined together, and we did yesterday for an amazing event.
And Donald Whitehead, you not only are the leader of an incredible advocacy group, one that you have fought for over these many years, but also you're an Emmy Award winner, and I just have to point that out because you are also a performer, you're an actor, you're a comedian, you have incredible skills that have been recognized over and over again through awards. So thank you for bringing all your creative genius to this fight for justice.
Well, thank you.
Yes. All right. With that said, let me introduce the third guest, and she is an amazing young woman, 31 years old. Yesterday, she absolutely mesmerized the crowd. Even Fox News had to put a clip up of her because of her amazing personal story of fighting against homelessness and succeeding against the odds. She is a speaker for the National Coalition for the Homeless and organizer with the Transformative Justice Coalition. She is also my daughter-in-law, but more important than anything, she is a woman of tremendous courage, tremendous perseverance, tremendous persistence, and just brilliant. I am happy to introduce Caitlin Arnwine. Hi, Caitlin.
Hey, Barbara. Hey, Donald. Hey, Antonia. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
All right, now. You know, this is all good. This is all good. We're so glad to have you here. So why don't we start with the case? People are saying, what in the world, Supreme Court, what does that have to do with me? You know, I haven't filed any cases before that Supreme Court, but why does this impact me? So why don't we go back and tell people about the city of Grand Pass, Oregon, versus Johnson? Antonia Facinelli, could you please bring our audience up to speed on what this case involves?
Absolutely. So, listeners, let's go to a small town in Oregon called Grants Pass. And when I say a small town, this is a community of just under 40,000 people. And this community saw a rise in homelessness because the population in this community doubled over 20 years, but they did not increase the supply of housing. And so as a result, the cost of housing went up as demand for housing increased, and the number of people losing their homes because they could no longer afford them really started to increase. Now, that is an issue that is going on all over the country. All over the country, housing has become more unaffordable, and it is harder and harder to afford housing, just even working a regular 40-hour-a-week job. But what's unusual in this case is that Grants Pass, responding to the increase in homelessness, did not open a public shelter for its homeless residents. It instead passed a law that allowed local police to punish its unhoused residents by issuing tickets and fines. And these fines started out at about $300 and multiplied and compounded each time someone received a fine for sleeping outdoors or sleeping in their vehicle. Essentially, the residents of Grants Pass were being punished for being unhoused, but not having any place to go because the city of Grants Pass failed to provide any shelter to them. Now, the U.S. Constitution provides some protection here. In the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, it says that local governments cannot inflict cruel and unusual punishments on its residents. And so the residents of Grants Pass, who were receiving these tickets and fines, filed a lawsuit against the city of Grants Pass, saying that these tickets and fines were cruel and unusual punishment because they had no alternative but to sleep outdoors in parks or in their vehicles. And every court that heard this case agreed and said, yes, it is cruel and unusual punishment to punish someone for having no alternative but to sleep outdoors. And so yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court took up this case and heard arguments on whether or not this is actually cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm. And Ms. Fasanelli, you know, one of the things that I find really interesting in this case is this, and it's I come from a position of someone who, you know, who's been on the county council, that's been dealing with the local laws, that's dealing with issues of people that are unhoused and on the streets, et cetera, that that residents are taking issue with. One of the things that becomes really interesting in this case to me, as you've indicated, you know, once they received a fine for the first time and they had a real loose definition as to making a determination as to when someone is homeless, right, whether they have a blanket or whatever, a little campsite, those types of things. But once they had received one fine, a second fine, it would be aggregated and increase the amount. But at that point, they then convert and say the police officer then can give them a banning notice so that they would be banned. And if they're found again, they could be charged with trespassing, criminally charged, and then subsequently put in jail for up to 30 days. So, you know, the Eighth Amendment part of it isn't just on the financing, right? Isn't the Eighth Amendment argument here also talking about we're going to put you in jail for 30 days because we, the county, we the entity, can't find a place for you to stay for the night?
That is exactly correct. This is a situation where these fines can multiply over time. There are residents of Grants Pass who've been charged thousands and thousands of dollars. And yes, when those fines are issued over multiple times, they can be charged with criminal trespass and can be incarcerated for up to 30 days. And in fact, that issue came up in the arguments yesterday before the Supreme Court. And even Justice Kavanaugh, who tends to be more on the conservative side of things, kept questioning the attorney for Grants Pass, saying, mm-hmm. What are unhoused residents supposed to do even if they are charged and incarcerated? When they get out of jail, where are they supposed to go? In recognition that the situation in Grants Pass is really dire, and it's really unusual to have a town punishing its unhoused residents and also failing to provide them with any sheltering options.
Wow. And, you know, I was so impressed that, you know, we're talking about what was going on inside the court, but outside the court, there were hundreds of people gathered in one of the larger demonstrations I've seen out in front of the Supreme Court. Hundreds of people, many who were unhoused themselves. You know, I want you to tell us, Donald Whitehead, why were people there? What were some of the demonstrations I heard about, a die-in and other things that took place prior to the rally? Why was this so important that people were there rallying and being heard noisily, being heard outside the Supreme Court?
So Barbara, people were there because, especially those experiencing homelessness, but, you know, we had people from all sectors of the community. We had the faith-based community there. We had service providers. And as you said, we had people who have experienced homelessness or currently experiencing homelessness themselves.
Yeah.
And the reason they were there is that this is not an isolated incident. Now, the fact that it's at the Supreme Court is isolated, but criminalization, and what I mean by criminalization is people being ticketed or fined or arrested because they're homeless, is happening all over this country. and people are fed up with it. And that's why people were there. In addition to the demonstration in front of the Supreme Court, we had over 30 communities across this country doing simultaneous demonstrations. We'll have a week of more demonstrations.